thank you. Thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together. Thank you, Lord, that your word give us direction and understanding, wisdom, strength, life, everything that we need, Lord, for life and godliness. And so, Lord, as we come together this morning, we just ask you that you just minister to our hearts as we open it up to you, to, Lord, hear from you, to receive from you, to be strengthened by you, healed, whatever we need, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to continue on the process of appropriation for God's promises. And it's important, you know, there are really three parts to that. Okay, there is that we must decide what we want. If we don't know, and we're going to see these three parts in detail, because it's important to understand that there is a part we play. God has done everything already, but there is a part we play. And it's not a part that we can play just on Sunday morning or, you know, whenever a situation that we don't like. We have to be there, connected with God, 24 hours a day. Because if we are not connected with God, we are connected with other things. And to be a Christian means, you know, that you really, you know, you are connected with the Father, the same way as Jesus was connected with the Father. And that doesn't mean that we don't do anything else. It just means that He's part, He's our partner, He's part of our continuous awareness, so that we depend on Him and we receive from Him. There are times when we had to go just with Him because we had to separate ourselves from the world around. And that's the time when we receive. But, you know, He's always there in us to flow through us and to minister through us. So we had to understand that. And there are three parts that we had to understand that involve, you know, receiving from God. The first one is to know what we want to receive. The second one is to walk by faith. And the third one is to act on our faith. See, there are all these three parts that we have to understand that have to do with us, not with Him. Because He has done it. He has accomplished everything that needed to be done so that we can receive. But it's for us now to align ourselves internally and externally with what He directed us to do. And so this makes all the difference you know, in the world. So the first thing that you have to do is really to decide what we want. You know, we are really actually free to choose many different things. Some people think, you know, that, oh, if I don't get completely the right thing, I'm missing it. Well, I don't think so. I mean, there are things that are better than others. But really, there is a wide range of things that we can choose. The point is that some things are going to be beneficial and other ones are not going to be beneficial. And so it's for us wise to choose the things that are going to be beneficial to us rather than produce problems. And for this reason, you know, there is so much instruction in the Word of God that if we just go by that, we already avoid lots of problems. Plus, God speaks to us personally into directing us, and we had to learn to listen to that too. Now, that is a bit more difficult sometimes than just go to what is written in the Word. Because, not that it's so difficult to do it, because we sometimes get our idea fixed on some stuff that is really not what He's telling us at the moment. But, you know, it's better to make a decision about something that not to make any decision, because when you don't make any decision, you are there tossed by anything that happens around you. So even if you are wrong and you make a decision, you know, at least make a decision that aligns up with the Word of God, that doesn't make you contradict or go against what God says, because already that resolves lots of problems. Okay. And if he really didn't get the right thing, well, he's going to direct us and help you to make choices, because when he knows, many of the decisions you make are not stuck there, that you cannot do anything. Some things that are more important and, you know, put you in a position that you cannot change, are evidently you have to take more time to make sure that is the right decision for you. But there's a lot of latitude. And if you, for example, read the book of Acts, you can see that, you know, people, first of all, even the people that knew God very well didn't always do exactly their best thing for them to do. And even then, you know, God was always there to help them. So even if you don't make the perfect decisions, God is always there to help you, because you acted according to the understanding, according to the faith you had at that particular moment, and that was limited. And you missed it. But you know, even if you missed it, God loves you anyway. So you can always depend on him to help you. I missed him a lot of time, and I still do. But that doesn't mean that he, for that reason, he doesn't help me when I need to be helped. And it's the same thing for you. So just because somebody missed it in the past, they go around with this burden, oh, you know, I miss God. Well, forget it. Try to do what you can now. That's what's important, not what you did 20 years ago. I know people that they are burdened by stuff, the decision that they made long time ago, when instead the past is past. Every day is a new day for God, with God. Amen. He's always there, ready to put you up and to put you back in the place if you cooperate with him. It may not be exactly the same way, but it's going to be a good way, because it's his way. So we should not live with regrets of the past. We should just be open to allow God to work on us today, because that's what he wants to do. So, you know, but we always have choices. You know, the scripture I use all the time is Deuteronomy 30:19. You know, today I put before you life and death, blessing and curses. Therefore, choose life that you and your children may live. You know, and really this is so important to understand. Our choices are important. What makes the difference in different life is the choice they made. And God gives us direction in his word about how to choose things. So even if we don't, at the moment, can be confused, whatever, as long as we line up ourselves with the word of God, and when we make a decision, this, that allows, you know, is this lining up with God's direction in his word, we know for sure that we cannot be too far off. Okay. So, your choices make a difference. Okay. Now, the fact is that you shouldn't choose things just because others chose that way. You see, God made us all different. And because he made us all different, has a different plan for each one of us according to the way he made us. You see, the thing that we had to understand is we had to realize and understand our difference and to allow that difference to be the way we operate and work. If you try to be like somebody else, you're not going to never be fully satisfied and doing the right thing, because it's not the things that you were made for. So instead, often we look at people and you like maybe because they are successful or because something or some other thing. And because of these things, we try to be like them. Well, you can admire people, but you don't need to be like them. You have to be like yourself. And that's what God wants, that you have to honor God, what God did in making you the way you are. So that you can blossom the way you are. The way your characteristics, there is no one characteristics better than another. You look at the people in the Bible. They were all different. I mean, you can compare, for example, Paul with John. Or, you know, Isaac with Jacob. Or any of the other. I mean, Abraham. They were all so different. And they would have been wrong if we were trying to be like the other ones. And we have to understand that God made us for a purpose the way we are. And when we are going to fulfill God's purpose in us, we are going to be happiest people on earth, because we are really doing what God planned to us, and we are going to feel good inside, satisfied, fulfilled, just by being ourselves. But when we are trying to be like somebody else, we're never going to be happy, because we're always going to strive for something that we are not. So, just learn to work with your characteristics. There is not one personality better than another. I mean, sometimes people say, well, you know, for example, Peter was rash in doing things. Yes, but sometimes you need some people that is rash in doing things to get some things done. Okay? I mean, at the beautiful gate was Peter, not John, that made the miracle happen. Okay? But John made lots of other things happen. So, it's not that Peter was better than John, or John was better than Peter. So don't think that because you are the way you are, you're not as, you know, valuable to God as somebody else. And the other way around, you are not more valuable than they are. So, but choosing is essential. Choosing is, why is so important choosing? Well, choosing is important because it helps you to focus on what you should be doing. You see, if you don't know where you're going, you're going to keep moving around randomly. You're going to waste your time trying to go all over the place. But when you know where you're going, you can go on a straight line or as much as possible that way. So that helps to establish your objective, your goal. Now, you know, the way the goal is done in the world generally is got done, you know, according to what people want, and they want everything. And some people have real problem about this, establishing goals, because there's so many things that they want. And that's a big problem. See, the best way, you know, when you have too many goals, you can achieve none of them. Choose one, the most important one for you, and go after that, and align up everything else with that. I mean, if it's a short, you know, for a period of time, just move in that direction. Otherwise, you are not going to progress. And when you choose a goal, make sure, that's the difference between us and the world, is that you make sure that it's what God wants you to do, that fits who you are, that fits the way you were made. See, but choose one thing. Because if you choose too many, you're not going to succeed. I'll tell you that before. Why? Because you cannot put your focus and your faith in too many things at the same time. Now, you know, James said it, clear, you know, James 1, 6, let's go there a moment, because this is such an important scripture. You know, that we have to realize that when we waver, when we go from one thing to another, we cannot accomplish too much. What's happening here? Okay, because our faith will not be directing and operating. Our actions will be spread all over the place. And we will not be able to accomplish and to move on. It's like if I want to go there, I know that I'm going there, I'm going to move in that direction. But if I don't know where I'm going, or if I want to go there and there and there, you know, and I start taking one step in each direction, I'm going to get nowhere. Okay, I'm going to get, you know, be lost and confused. So we have to have a precise idea of where God wants us to be. And that is determined by us, you know, say, well, I don't know yet. Well, look who you are and what you're good at and how God uses you. Now, I already in the past talked about, you know, how to hear from God. So you can go into that series there if you have it. And if you don't, we can get it for you. But so I'm not going to touch that for the time being. But I'm going to just, you know, look at the importance for you to have made a precise purpose or goal that you have for your life. And I said, James chapter 1. Okay, verse 6 says, but you must, well, actually, yeah, okay, I can start from 6. But he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like a surf in the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought to not expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. See, double-minded means somebody that's shifting from one thing to another. If there are, you know, if shifting from one thing to another is already getting you nowhere, can you imagine if you shift from one thing to another, to another, to another, to another? And this is the way the world is today. They want everything and they get nothing. See, nothing of value anyway. So the key thing here is to really realize what really we want and go after that to, you know, whatever the important thing is in your life. You know, and the thing we're talking about now is, you know, this is 2014, make the best year of your life. What is going to make that the best year of your life? Make sure that that is lined up with the Word of God, that is in agreement with His promises, that you have a promise you can base yourself on, or more than one, that it's evident that this is what God wants for you, and then go after that. Now that's the beginning of moving towards something. And don't waver. Don't be tossed. Don't try. You see, most people are not enough focused on things to achieve results. You know, the typical example is, you know, the difference between you when, you know, you have light in the sun, you can feel warm. But if you have a magnifying lens, they concentrate this rays in one place, you can even get far. If you even concentrate more and use, for example, something like a laser beam, you can cut through very small energy, even through metal, because it's so concentrated and so focused. So if you spread your energy all over the place, don't expect to make progress in the things you want. Focus yourself, because there is power in being focused on something. What you focus on, you are going to achieve. And so make those decisions that are involved in selecting the things that you had to discard and the things you had to focus on. You know, there are lots of things I like to do and I don't, because otherwise I will be, and I already do too many things. I try always to cut down the things I do, because that's the way for me to make progress and to achieve something. So, and this is a problem with many of us. We want too many things. Just don't do that, because you are limiting what you want to be able to get. Now, that's the first element. The second one is walking by faith. The faith walk. Understanding the faith walk. Look, the faith walk is not a very easy walk to do. And the reason why it's not very easy is because we are used to walk by sight, by our senses. And we had to learn to walk by faith, which is not by our senses, it's by our beliefs. Hello? So, So, are you following what I'm saying? You see, walking by faith, 2 Corinthians 5, 7, you know, we walk by faith, not by sight. What does it mean that we walk by faith, not by sight? See, walk by faith means that we walk by our beliefs, not by the things, our physical senses. Now, you know, tell me how easy it is to do that. It's not easy because we are in this world. We had to move in this world. I mean, if I want to walk here toward you, I had to see the floor and my senses are guiding me in the steps I'm going to take. So there is a degree of senses in which I depend and you depend. But we had to learn to move beyond that and still operate in this physical world, but at the same time, you know, be guided by something deeper than what we can see, than we can hear, by what people said or everything else. We had to be moved by our beliefs, by heart. See, we are spiritual beings that had to learn to walk according to their belief system, not according to what happens around us. See, if we go by what happens around us, we cannot be saved. Because being saved means that we believe something that is not existing now. So we have to learn to see and to be guided beyond the things that we can perceive physically. Now, it needs some training. The same way as when we were babies and we had to learn to walk depending on our physical senses or to move or to talk or all these things that depending on our physical senses. Well, we had to go and do the same type of training, but to walk according to the things we see spiritually, we hear spiritually, all the senses, the spiritual senses we have that are the senses of our heart. Are you following me? This is a training is required to do that. It's not just happening like that. And the problem is people think that, they just can do it. But it's not that simple. It's not that easy. You see, it's based on our heart beliefs. Now, that involves a choice all the time. Involve a choice, and the choice is between the things that we believe inside and the things that we see in the world when there is a contradiction between the two. Like, for example, the Lord says, I am the Lord that healeth you, and we are sick. So there is a choice we had to make about what we really believe and where we stand in that position. And, you know, our senses are going to scream, our logic is going to, try to overcome and say, you're sick. It's not true, it doesn't work. And that's the time when you have to choose to believe what you believe rather than what you see, hear, what other people say, what the doctor says, what everybody, because otherwise you are stuck. According to your faith is done unto you. According to your belief, you are going to experience. You see, our experience depends on our beliefs. Sometimes more than other times. The fact is that we have no control directly on our beliefs. That's what our problem is. That we can say, because we agree logically with something, we think that we believe that, but that's not the same thing as actually believe with the heart. Believing is acquired to experience. So, for example, if the same way as when you can walk, you know, the fact that you see somebody walking and say, oh, I can do the same, doesn't mean you can walk, can you, when you're a baby? See the parents and try to imitate it, and just, you know, they go around and they fall all over the place. Why? Because they try to imitate something that they don't have yet. It's the same thing spiritual. Just because he's somebody that can believe for things that you cannot believe doesn't mean you can believe them now. The potential is there. But the ability is another thing. You have to develop it. It's like a muscle. So there has to be, things need to be recorded in your heart. And the recording in the heart is where we acquire belief system. And that recording takes place out of experience. So, for example, if you are healed once, and you are healed the second time, and you are healed the third time, the fourth time is not going to be very difficult to believe God for healing. But if you have been prayed once and didn't work, and prayed the second time and didn't work, and prayed the third time and didn't work, you know, it becomes more and more difficult to believe God for healing. So the idea is, can you do something? Absolutely. There are lots of things you can do to change your belief system. And understanding that is the key to walk in faith, or walk by faith. But you know, understanding that is not enough. Because as I said before, changing your beliefs come from experience. So you have to have experiences to change your beliefs. You have to go through things. You have to do certain things to change your beliefs. Just don't happen like that. You know, you start with the Word of God. Because the things that we don't see, how can we believe anything if we don't know what to believe? So we start with the communication that God has given us of what he says, so that we can connect with him and can start believing in something in a very specific direction. This is why God's promises are essential. And so you start. You see, this has to do all with our salvation. You see, walking in faith is nothing else than walking with God so that our salvation is manifested more and more. That we become the way Jesus was. You know, if you go to Romans chapter 4, you see the process that Abraham went through. From the time that God promised him that he was going to have many children, you know, a multitude of children, to the time when actually that started to be manifested. There were many years of experiences in which God stretched his faith, stretched his beliefs. And if you read in Romans chapter 4, in that chapter, it summarized and explained some of the things that were taking place in his life as he was going through this process. I'm not going to read the whole thing here. But starting from verse 17, it says, as it is written, a father of many nations I have made you. You know, he said that before. God said that before it was manifested. In the presence of him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. You see, the thing is, that's what has to happen. When we walk by faith, we call into being something that doesn't exist already. That means we had to believe it before this manifested. And not believe it just, I want that. You know, it's more than that. See, in hope, against hope, he believed. You see, his situation was hopeless. He still had hope, and that means, you know, hope is the eager expectation. You know, he was waiting any time it's going to happen. I mean, years were passing by, and he still was there eagerly expecting, you know, it's going to happen now. Now, you can see, if you're going through anything by faith, you know how hard that could be to do it. You see, it just doesn't happen naturally. It just doesn't happen because you watch TV every night. It just doesn't happen because you go with your friends and have a party every week. It just doesn't even happen just going to Sunday morning on church, because it's not enough. You see, has to be there all the time with you. Was with him all the time. He was thinking about that. He was open to that. He was believing that. He was, now is the time. He was just depending and believing that God was doing it somewhere or another that he could not understand. And don't try to understand. How is it going to do? Because that often is a problem. You just have to be open to the fact that God said it and he's going to do. How is going to do? I don't know. And you have to be there expecting it to happen. That means you have to control your thinking and your emotions that they're going to say otherwise, hasn't worked yet. Oh, how long do I have to wait? You know, when you start thinking like that, you already are in the wrong direction. In hope, against hope, again, he believed, so that he may become the father of many nations according to what he was written, so shall your descendant be. Without being weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of his Sarah's womb. Yet, with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. You see, there has to be a not wavering component within us. And we have to understand when we are wavering. When we have to understand when our emotions are tossed down for because of we are looking at the circumstances. This is what affects our emotions. The circumstances, the senses, what the senses are telling us, well, you know, every day you're getting old, Abraham. And the chances are just becoming slimmer and slimmer. They were gone long time ago. And so, against hope, he hoped. He expected against any expectation that was logical. There was no logic in him expecting anything happening, except that he had determined that he was going to believe. He chose to believe. He chose to believe God's word and promise rather than the other things. And any other evidence, manifestations, symptoms, senses, what the senses say, what people say, he just screened them out. It is, no, I'm going to believe God instead of them. So what we had to do to get the same type of results that Abraham had, well, we had to do the same thing that he did. If we don't do that, we cannot get the same results. Because that is walking by faith. See, walking by faith is not walking by our senses, but walking by what we know in our heart that God said. And we choose to be looking at that instead of looking at the other. Now we say, well, this seems pretty difficult to do. And that's why you need training. You see, you have to train yourself. And I'll tell you, I know because I do it. You know, you have to train yourself not to look at what is natural to look all the time. To the degree that you can. I mean, you have to do something physical because you're still in this body, but you have to be guided by the things that your physical senses receive, but the things that are in agreement with the Word of God. Are you following me? See, that is walking by faith. And it's a choice. It's a choice every time that your senses are going to tell you something that is contrary to what the Word of God says. And you choose, no, And you have to do it right away, because if you accept it, that thing becomes stronger in you and you start believing that. So you see why it's an ongoing thing. It's not a Sunday morning event. But you have the ability to do that. You have to realize that you have been built in such a way that you can do it. This is the way God made you. You see, you are made in the image of God. Means, you know, that you can operate the way He operates. And He operates exactly this way. He always called the things that are not as though they were. You are healed, He says. Or you are saved. Or you are overcomer in this area or the other area. So you can. And you will. Now, continuing here, these verses. And being fully assured of what God has promised. You see, you had to get to the place where you were just not doubt in your heart. He was also able to perform. Therefore, it was accredited for him as righteousness. And as righteousness, I mean, you know, he was, because he was religious, you know, he was in before God the way God expected him to be. Do you understand? See, the way God said he would be, that's you and you are righteous. When you are the way God said you are. Not for his sake only was it written, but it was credited to him. But for our sake also, to whom he was credited. And those who believe in him, who raised Jesus, on him who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, and was delivered over because of our transgression and so on and so forth. I had to change translation because I tend to say the things according to the NIV and no, the New King James, and when I read this other one becomes difficult because halfway through I see that the words are different. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay, so the idea is this, that you know, it's accredited to us when we operate that way, that we are before God in the right standing, and that thing is going to be manifested in our life naturally. So this is the way our heart works. We are built that way, and when we understand that, we realize, yes, we can do it. It's not impossible for us to achieve that kind of result. You know, everything we do should be based on what we believe. If you go to, for example, Romans chapter 12, you know, talks about that we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. Okay, so really, the word make us different. What makes us different is make us have a certain belief system inside that is based on the Word of God that maybe we still don't see manifested completely in our life. But we start to operate according to the things we receive. So we have to act on what beliefs we believe we have. So if God says that we operate, you know, we have a certain promise, and we have to start appropriating that promise by starting to act in faith in that particular area and start believing in Him. You know, the verses after that, the renewal of the mind, it just, you know, often they are not connected. People talk about two different things, but in reality, you know, the Bible is all a continuation. If there is a concept, there is another concept. Just after that, said, you know, let's go a moment to Romans chapter 12, and I want to just read a few verses there. But starting from verse 3, it says, "For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." So you see, everybody has the faith to do something. And so according to the faith that you have, act on it. And start, see, the more we act on our faith, and the more, see, the things we believe, that... Just a moment. Let me go a step back here. You know, if you act on faith, means that you are not acting in the flesh. If you act in faith, means that you are not acting according to the things that you see or hear. So he's saying to us, you know, according to the faith he has given us, start operating, start working on the areas that you have received, and you are going to see where it's going. Are you following me? So, for example, if you have prophecy, prophesy. If you have, you know, the gift of giving, give. You know, that way you start developing your faith in the areas in which you already received, and you get experience about receiving in other areas too. So that we start to put into motion this progression of appropriating everything that God has done for us, that is our salvation. You know, it's not just the things that, you know, we want to get. God has much more. And sometimes, you know, our desire, you know, even if they are valid, they are limited by our experience, our neediness. But God has more than our neediness to give us. And sometimes to fulfill the needs that we have, there are other things that we do not understand and we don't even care about sometimes that you should be getting first. You know, for example, people needing healing, they just, because they need healing, you know, they are in suffering, they seek God, when instead, you know, maybe before there are other things that need to be resolved so that the healing can take place. Because their faith cannot operate to receive healing unless these things are resolved. They could be bitterness, they could be anger, they could be other things that are inside them, blocking them, and these things, you know, hinder the operation of the faith in this person because they don't have faith in some more basic things that need to be resolved in their life. You cannot program God to do exactly what you want. But you have to program yourself to do what God wants, and you're going to get His results. Time to close here. Praise the Lord. Are you following? See, we have, you know, it's not a question. Some people have faith and some people don't have faith. It's a question of how experience, how developed your faith is. Your ability to walk by faith is not by sight. Your ability to make decisions whenever they come. Your focus about moving and realizing when your flesh is influencing you instead of your spirit and pushing those things away and choosing the other. You know, when you try to do things by faith and doesn't work, it's because that's not faith. It's presumption. I mean, and what presumption is to believe that you have faith for something that you don't. You presume, you assume, you believe that you have it, but you don't have it. And so there's not going to be manifestation because everything that you have faith for is going to happen. Naturally, this is the way it works. According to your faith, is done unto you. The thing is, sometimes our ideas are messed up about really seeing where we are at. But that doesn't mean anything. That should say, okay, well, there is some work to do. There is some changes to take place. There are some things that I need to, you know, and there are, you have to see, some things are, you know, not depending on you only. It's a number of factors. I mean, Jesus wants to save the whole world. And he has faith. Not all the world is saved, is it? So don't put yourself down because of the level of faith you have. But you can do something to move on. We haven't finished about walking by faith, but we have finished the time for today. We're going to talk more about walking on both really, because this has to do with our salvation. You know, people think about salvation, about going to heaven. There is much more than going to heaven. Okay, what we do here makes a difference even after. Where we are going to be once we are with the Lord is going to be dependent on what we have done here. So we have to connect with him now and to allow him to work in us and to learn to walk by faith, because this is the way to please God. There is no other way. And that means believing him instead of believing your senses. And for today we close. Okay, why don't we pray together? We make a confession of faith here. You know, we need to take a position we believe God. Amen? Okay, let's go before the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for giving me the Holy Spirit, the anointing of God, the power of God, your grace to overcome any situation in my life. I believe your word. I believe in the power of God. I believe in the ability to receive it in my life and to overcome because of what Jesus has done. And I thank you for that. Guide me, empower me, enlighten me, give me the victory that you have prepared for me. In Jesus' name, I am blessed. Amen. All right.